Okay, so then, if he's free from all false designations, then, because see, there's the enjoying element, that one doesn't want to enjoy the material energy. Right? But it doesn't mean that there may not, and he identifies as servant of Krishna, but he still has to be careful of prestige that may come from the positions that he's using in Krishna's service or the position he comes to from serving Krishna. Right? Does that make sense? Right? So if he can do that, then he's free from false ego and prestige, right? The false ego will be an identification with something. The prestige is then the social benefit, the social benefit that may be gotten from that position. You understand? So that's why both are mentioned. You know, if you say prestige, that of course indicates that there must be something that you're proud about, right? But here is that what you identify with, and then the pride that comes from being in that position and being respected by others. So here is that. Therefore, giving that up, then he's coming to the pure chant platform chanting. Right? So before is that brought us to the offenseless stage, right? But now we see is this brings us to the pure stage. Right? So this humility is very, very important for Krishna, like that. In the relationship, the quality of relationship, the quality of rasa that Krishna is interested in, then is very pure. So that purity then means that there will be no false ego, right? And no pride due to even not having false ego. Because it's real ego. Like the gopis, they are gopis. They are Krishna's lovers. They are the best. They are the best devotees. It's fact. Right? So there's no false ego there. There's real ego. But one cannot be proud of that, the prestige of that. That can't be there. Because Krishna is God, but he doesn't let that get in the way with his relationships. It just doesn't. So therefore, those who he interacts with should be the same. Should be on that same platform. The sadhaka offers all respect to others. The word manada means to offer all respects to others. This is the fourth symptom of a devotee who chants without offenses. He understands that all living entities are Krishna's eternal servants. So he is never envious or spiteful to anyone. He pleases everyone with sweet sublime words and exemplary actions that bring benediction to the world. He offers respect to distinguished personalities, such as learned brahmanas, to Brahma, Shiva, and other demigods. He offers obeisances with utmost humility, praying to them for increasing his devotion to Lord Krishna. And to elevated Vaishnavas and pure devotees, he offers service with heart and soul. The chanting of the holy name that is felicitated with the above four qualities is the highest success in human life. This is the declaration of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the most magnanimous avatar and savior of the fallen souls of Kali Yuga, in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Antyalila 20:22-26. Quote, "These are symptoms of one who chants the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Although he is very exalted, he thinks himself lower than the grass on the ground. Like a tree, he tolerates everything in two ways. When a tree is cut down, it does not protest. And even when drying up, it does not ask anyone for water. The tree delivers fruits, flowers, and whatever it possesses to anyone and everyone. It tolerates scorching heat and torrents of rain. Yet it gives shelter to others. Although a Vaishnava is the most exalted person, he is prideless and gives all respect to everyone, knowing everyone to be the residing place of Krishna. If one chants the holy name of Lord Krishna in this manner, he will certainly awaken his dormant love of Krishna's lotus feet." Okay. Yes, so seeing everyone else as servant of Krishna, therefore he offers respects to everyone according to their position. Right? So still that one will distinguish what is appropriate. But the point is one is respectful, one is dealing nicely, one speaks nicely. So that's the, you know, the basic element. Right? It's not, we can't claim that for the expediency of getting something done that we have any right to break all etiquettes and all proper behavior. Right? Does that make sense? So we always have to be very, very careful. Getting our work done is important, right? Because if you're not active, there's no results. If there's no results, how do you offer something to Krishna? Therefore, action is very important. By action, there's experience. And through that action, then the living entity and Krishna, the other devotees, then they experience rasa, right? But so everything is through action. So the proper performance of action is a very prominent element, therefore, in human culture. But it doesn't mean that the expediency of getting the action done and getting the result is the most important thing. No, one should be focused in trying to get a good result because it's for Krishna. But the most important thing for Krishna is the attitudes and that one performs the activity. Right? Because here's humility, tolerance, not wanting respect, and respect for others. Did we hear anything mentioned on an activity? No. Because the point is the attitude with which one does the activity, because this is what someone chanting the holy name is attitude. Right? So that means one is chanting. Right? But this is the attitude with which one chants. Does that make sense? So the whole idea is that one must be... One must be very clear that there's an activity and then there's the mood in which the activity is done. Right? Just like we'll do some activity and then there's the devotion by which it's done. Right? So that means the devotional element is more important than the action. But without the action, how do you express the devotion? So they go together. But one always must know the priority. If one doesn't have the mood in that, then one is trying, you know, in his best way to copy, be humble and talk. Because if you don't know anything, you can't do anything, naturally you'll be humble and tolerant, respectful. Right? But as one becomes good at doing these things, then tendency is that the expertise by which the activity is done is the all in all. Make sense? That then can get in the way of proper attitude. So one has to be very, very careful about that. Does that make sense? Okay, now this will be commentary, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Because the jiva is by constitution an eternal servant of Lord Krishna, his eternal dharma or religion is chanting the holy name, whether he is a resident of this material world or enters into the spiritual sky. There's no better means for attaining all-around benefit and success for humanity than the chanting of the holy name. For chanting brings good fortune to others and all auspiciousness to the self. So he's saying the nature of the soul is, as an eternal servant of Krishna, then the eternal religion is chanting his name. And he's making the point that whether you're in the material world or in the spiritual world, it's the same occupation. Okay? So that means that this is the most important occupation. So then, supporting that, then are these other occupations. Right? So the activities or the placement in Varnashram is in support of this eternal occupation. Right? So all other situations in the world, no matter how removed, they must all be connected back to this one occupation. Right? If that's correct, then everything else would be correct. Otherwise, then it's like he was saying before with his friends and relatives and other living entities, is that they're so fully absorbed in material life that they don't actually see that, you know, it's not anything so important to them. You know, their sufferings, all these different things that they're having, they don't understand that this is all coming simply because they've forgotten the Lord. Right? They remember the Lord, add the Lord to what they're doing, then everything becomes nice. Does this make sense? How the pure name is obtained. This shloka was composed for the sole reason of clearly establishing how to avoid Nam Aparad and Nam Abbas in chanting. One whose intelligence avoids Krishna and rushes headlong after the intoxication of material enjoyment can never perceive his true position as but an infinitesimal spark of consciousness. One who thinks he is the enjoyer can never admit his insignificance, nor is he tolerant by nature. He'll not like to give up his false ego and false prestige. Because tolerance means you have to be able to put up with a lot. And then generally that gets in the way of your ego. Right? So therefore, the person who's not humble like that, you know, he doesn't admit he's very small, then will be trying to prove that he's big. So right there, that without the humility, he'll naturally be intolerant. So here Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur is bringing out that aspect that the soul being infinitesimal, right? Not just that we're soul, we're servant of Krishna, but he's infinitesimal. So therefore, it's natural he won't be proud. Right? Because if we're proud, then one makes oneself a little bit bigger than one actually is. You know, that's the difficulty. Yes? Humility and pridelessness. Basically, they're the same, but see, you could be humble in that you're always able to know your position and serve others and like this, but you could be proud of your position as a very humble person. You know what I'm saying? Means you're not proud in other activities, but you're proud of your being not proud. You know what I'm saying? It's a separate feeling. It won't necessarily come through in other activities, but it's still there. You still consider yourself special. So because of that, then that prestige, then you won't be compassionate, therefore you won't be, your preaching won't happen. You know? But the humility, you may be able to give up so many aspects of sense gratification, but because you're not giving up this false prestige, then it will have its limit. You know what I'm saying? You know, the servant in the house may be humble towards the members of the household and serve very nicely. And so therefore he can serve and deal without desire for sense gratification. Right? But he'll be proud that he is a very excellent, you know, servant. So that will get in his way in some place. Maybe not with where he's applying it in his service, but as an own personal development will get in the way. Does that sound like sense?
I've heard that in Krishna consciousness, pride has a place. For example, Gauranga Maharaj used to say that I'm proud. Any nonsense philosophy I'll kick it out. So Gauranga Maharaj, I'm proud, or something like that.
Something like that. No, but in these kind of quotes, especially when you're quoting personalities like that, better to get the quote right. You know what I'm saying? Because otherwise, then how do you speak on it? Because these kind of things, then you're going by words. You know what I'm saying? Specific words have specific meanings in the context. The point is this I think it comes up here. I think Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur makes the point. But the point is that you are doing this on behalf of the spiritual master. That's the point. So the spiritual master is there. So you could say is that, you know, there's a pride in, I say, I think it's a different word that's used. It's a synonym, but it can be pride of being able to be a servant of the spiritual master. Like that. But it doesn't affect one's service. You know what I'm saying? These other things, they're actually false identities, so it's still false ego. But here, that's real ego. But you still have to understand that in that position, I am not the controller and enjoyer. You know what I'm saying? So it's not that from that pride you're trying to get any benefit. But that's a fine point. You know what I'm saying? In any case, even that element of pride is still a symptom of great advancement. So in any case, the point of how you're going to get there is through this humility and tolerance and offering respect to others and not desiring anything for yourself. That person can manifest that specific kind of spiritual pride. You know what I'm saying? So it's not, we have to be very, very careful, is that we hear something and, okay, either it's something that's not so interesting to us, right? You know, that, and so therefore we will try to find a loophole, right? Or an exception. Or we just like the position of, you know, discussion and arguments with words, right? And so then when a point is made, then we will take certain words and then take that word and find it in another context where it seemingly gives a different or even better, is opposite meaning. You know what I'm saying? The more opposite, the more taste there is, or the more confidence there is that I don't have to apply what has been said before. He says, you should be free from pride. No, but Hanuman was proud when he, you know, burned Lanka and all that, and that was a devotional quality. So in other words, I want to remain proud. Right? But the point is unless you're, if you're Hanuman, go for it. Be as proud as you want. But if you're not Hanuman, then that attitude you will maintain, because he is saying, I am servant of Ram. Ram is the greatest. Who are these Rakshasas to bother? So even the servant of Ram is something special that they themselves should not feel they can exploit. So therefore we'll show how even a servant can destroy the whole city, let alone Lord Ramachandra. So the pride is all in connection with Krishna. Right? So all these qualities that we see that seemingly may not be recommended qualities that we see in the Lord's pastimes, they're all still about Krishna. Not about themselves. So to get to that level of pride, still we would have to develop these qualities that this verse is recommended. Only then would we be able to apply them. You know what I'm saying? Because all those different qualities are there. It's like Bhima, he's proud. But he's still proud in connection to Krishna. You know? Does that make sense? The Jaya and Vijaya were proud that they're very strong. They're the strongest persons there in Vaikuntha. So if all qualities are in Krishna, then fighting is a quality, so therefore fighting must be in Krishna. But he's the greatest, so who could fight with them other than Jaya and Vijaya? Right? So therefore, if it would please Krishna that he likes fighting, then they would like to be able to offer their services to be able to fight with him. So he sees the pride doesn't get in the way of the identity as Krishna's servant or the servant's service itself. So it doesn't create this lack of tolerance or anything else. So we can understand it's spiritual, like the Brahmavadis. There is, I mean, the Mayavadis or the impersonalists will say that if there's quality here and form here, then spiritual means it can't be that. It's the opposite. Right? So in the same way as then, here, this is spiritual pride. So it's different from this. So when we say give up sense gratification, that means engaging the senses in the sense objects, you know, for our own enjoyment in the fruit of mentality. But engaging the senses in the sense objects to get a result, but to please Krishna, that's not called sense gratification. That's devotional service. You know what I'm saying? So that kind of pride, where the devotees manifest it for the pleasure of the Lord. Right? That's service. It's not a bad quality. It carries no mundane anomalies. Does that make sense? So one has to mean, so the intelligence will do this, so that's good. That's why it's always important of the submissive inquiry. Because that one's mind can find these exceptions, that means you're intelligent, because you see something here and something over there. Hey, these match. So that means intelligence. So to be able to see that, then that must be recognized. But if one wants to benefit oneself to actually develop love for Krishna, okay, then one must do it in the proper way. As we said before, is that you only get a real benefit when the attitude's proper. Okay. Does that make sense? Okay. Something else? Yes.
In Kali Yuga, we understand that the pauper is proud of his penny.
Pauper is proud of his penny, yes.
You're saying that we shouldn't be proud that we're humble.
We shouldn't be proud that we're humble, yes.
And I've also heard you say that there's a negative feedback thing, that as soon as you get proud, you get smashed down.
Yes.
So we can always have a measure that our service is being reduced.
So how much we're being smashed, we can understand how...
It's like we're trying to be humble and up there. The service is being taken away, so it means something's wrong. So therefore...
Yes. Either it's taken away, or as by that one will... Krishna does many things at once. So depending upon what it is, if one wants to serve, then sometimes by taking away, he accomplishes things. But if you can handle everything taken away, then you'll be able to handle having everything. Right? In that story with Vamanadeva and Bali Maharaj. Then when Bali Maharaj starts speaking on the glories of the Lord, then the first point he makes is that if the Lord is kind to him, he takes away all his material desires and his facility, you know, whatever he could connect and identify with materially, he takes it away. Therefore, one has to surrender. So Bali Maharaj is in that position, right? So naturally, he's going to be discussing that. He's going to bring that point up. Then, having said that, then Vamanadeva speaks and says, and higher than that is then when the Lord gives everything and one can maintain that same humility. Because the point is, if our ultimate goal is to be, you know, properly situated as a humble servant of the servant, then there's no point in the process really that one would be proud. You know what I'm saying? It's like, let's say you're trying to make, you're taking something and you're trying to freeze it. Right? So there's no element in that whole process where you're going to be using heat. It'll go against what you're trying to gain. Right? So therefore, since cold is the end result, so cold is also the process. So humility is the end, so humility is the process. So that then establishes that that doesn't mean we're not confident. This is the difficulty, is defining what is humility. Humility doesn't mean insecurity, right? Humility is actually the opposite. It's coming from the security of knowing I am servant of Krishna. Right? So one is secure. Because of that, one can do very, very special activities. So the idea is that if that humility is established, then the living entity, being confident of his position as servant of Krishna, therefore then he can preach, he can do anything, he can go out, because he's not speaking about himself, he's speaking about Krishna. So it would appear to others to be pride, but it doesn't necessarily mean that. Difficulty is nowadays, insecurity is taken as humility. So if anybody feels secure, the immediate comment is they're proud. You see? So that's the difficulty, is that confidence and having that ability to be dynamic and everything is naturally part of spiritual humility. Right? But material humility, then it means, because to be humble here means you'll be exploited, therefore you are in a weak position, and so you are insecure. You know what I'm saying? So that's the difficulty. You know, it's just like in the Vedic concept of servant, it doesn't mean that you don't ask him, you know, what of his opinion. He may be the servant, but he has an opinion because he works in the field. You know what I'm saying? You know, you have a driver, and so therefore you may ask him, you know, what's the best way to get there? You know? But, so, if you understand so one is confident in his position, he can be confident as a driver. Right? Or as a cook, or as someone who cleans the house, or the garden, or anyone like that. They can be confident. They know. They know when things are to be, you know, planted, or fertilized, or pruned, or weeded, or they know, so they can tell you. And in fact, they might even come up to you and, you know, sir, you know, this is the time we should do this. You know, but still, he only does it if it's authorized. So then they say, yes, yes, go ahead. Or no, no, I want you to do this first. You know, whatever. So the point is you can be confident and be humble. But you're not proud. Right? So so nowadays this master and servant thing then becomes more exploitive. Means they cannot have any opinion, they cannot be anything. It's just they're just told what to do. You know, so basically slavery. So it's interesting in the age where, you know, slavery and all that is seen as a bad thing, you know, and to be more liberal and all that, but at the same time as their concept of master and servant takes more on that form. You know what I'm saying? Because they can't tolerate that someone else would be able to comment or say anything because they're insecure themselves. So the more secure they are, the more they can handle that others can be secure and respond and, you know, be in their position. Just as long as the managerial hierarchy works, then what does it matter? Everybody can be confident. But to that degree that someone's not confident, then he will feel someone else's confidence is a threat, because then the confident person can do something. So that means they being confident, they will be actually, you know, controlling you. So therefore, then automatically it'll be identified that confidence is pride. Does that make sense?
What about if you become angry when asked to do some service?
What about becoming angry to do, if you're asked to do some service? It happens. One should be working to, if the service is appropriate to yourself and you have the facility, you don't have something else, then, you know, one should take it as an opportunity. If it you don't have, you're already doing something else or this or that, then there may have to be some adjustment with it. But what's the most amusing form of getting angry when offered service is when you're in the temple in front of the deities praying to be Krishna's servant and be engaged in his service, and someone comes up right in the middle of that sentence, taps you on the shoulder and says, you know, Prabhu, can you help us with this? You know, it's kind of like, you know, can't you see I'm busy? You know, it's like, you just asked to do service. Here's the service. You know, so that's always, you know, I think, you know, somebody gets a laugh out of that one. You know, like that.
Yeah. Somebody else. It appears that if one doesn't become skillful in his...
Skillful. Okay.
His practical service. then it's very difficult to become confident.
If he doesn't become skillful, it's hard to become confident. Yes, that would naturally, having a skill would actually increase confidence, but you have to be careful that that's not a matter of pride. Because the confidence can be there in that you know this body of knowledge is good, it's coming from good authority, it can be properly engaged in Krishna's service, here's the method how to do it. We have confidence that if I, with the proper understanding, practice it, you know, then in the appropriate way I will be able to use this nicely in Krishna's service. We're confident that the use of this in Krishna service is pleasing to Krishna, therefore it will, we will advance, we will develop in our devotional affection for Krishna. So, you know, that the order of guru is it works, so therefore, with all confidence, I can use it. So the confidence can go much farther like that. So there'd be confidence in Shravana, there'd be confidence in Manana, there'd be confidence in Nididhyasana. That this realization, this understanding, as revealed by the Acharyas, is good. You know, and that you work on this, then that will be the best for your own personal development and for preaching. Does that make sense? So one can be confident at all stages because one knows who one is. Lack of confidence is actually being unsure of who you are. You know, I thought I was in this position and everybody liked me and this and that, and I find out no one likes me and actually they're trying to take away my position. So I become insecure. Right? Then I don't know what to do or what, because I have no identity. But for the devotee, because he always has the identity as servant of Krishna, therefore in any situation, he's confident. It doesn't matter. People like me doing this, don't like me doing this and this and that, but I'm still servant of Krishna. Right? You know, so they don't like what I'm doing. If what I'm doing is bona fide, it's appropriate for the situation, they don't like it, technically it's their problem. It's not my problem. But if I can make some adjustment in how I'm doing or something, that will make them feel more comfortable, and I can still get my service done, then that will be done. You know? But the point is that it's the element of being connected to Krishna, founded in the principle that I am servant of Krishna. That removes fear, it gives confidence. Like that. Does that make sense? That's why Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur can be so, you know, aggressive, because he's not doing it for himself. He's doing it because the order of his guru is so perfect, it's beneficial to everybody, and everybody should take it up. Not because he's my guru, it's because, you know, the guru stands on his own. Like that. So it appears very bold, very like that, but it's not. Prabhupada wouldn't show that. You know, so that's not the thing. You're doing it for someone else. You know? But it's not I'm doing it for someone else. I am the servant who is trying to assist and do this. So, in other words, there'll be all this mix of feelings. This idea that there's just one feeling like this or one like that. Generally, emotions always come in groups. You know, they're always there. They're always packages. That's what makes them so... It's so different, because at any time, any one of emotions can be more prominent and others, and which ones are assisting. So sometimes it can be this ones are assisting, sometimes those are assisting. So that's why is that you don't know how it's going to do. So if someone could be sad, it can manifest as anger. It could be sad, it can manifest as shyness, or they don't want to be involved, or they don't even want to interact with others, people. You know, so it can be done in so many ways. You know, you don't know what will be the accompanying emotions with a more prominent emotion. You know, that's based on the principle of rasas. You know, so all these different things, that's what creates the variety in spiritual rasa. I mean, we can do so much with seven notes in music. Right? So, if you have more elements than that, you know, you have five rasas, you know, and you have this 12 seven, right? Seven secondary rasas. And then you have the 33 sanchari bhavas. So how much can you make with that? You know what I'm saying? So with seven, if you can make so much, what about with this many? You know? So that means, right? So you have five times, you know, seven times 33. Right? So like that, so that's how rasa is so developed and so deep that it's very hard even sometimes to understand what's happening. But it's still happening within this framework. It's not happening outside of this. Right? Yeah. Does that make sense? Okay. We're on a gross enjoyer, right? Okay. A gross sense enjoyer is thoroughly unwilling and incapable of ungrudgingly so many nice words, huh? offering respect to another enjoyer like himself. Right? A gross sense enjoyer, right, is thoroughly, he's not saying is unwilling, is thoroughly unwilling and incapable of ungrudgingly offering respect to another enjoyer like himself. It is the material, the materialist's habit to be insincere in his dealings with others, to the point of being obnoxious. Right? And this is someone who learned English from a dictionary. Right? Okay. So that's the point. If you understand language, you're like you would know Sanskrit. So if you understand language, it's just a matter of converting it into another language. So basically, without studying a dictionary, he wouldn't have enough vocabulary to be able to do in English what he could do in Sanskrit, express in Sanskrit. So therefore, then you see he comes up with, you know, these kind of things. Okay, so the materialist can't be, humble. He can't actually serve. He can't actually be sincere. But because everybody's like that, it's called, you know, nice or pleasant, or it's the proper etiquette, or it's all the things like that. So that's the element that is, being brought out is only the devotee can actually be sincere. That's why there's not technically any trick in preaching. You simply, with that sincere attitude, try to sincerely express what Krishna consciousness means to you. And it's something very different than the materialist has ever experienced. Because being himself, it's always superficial. And any dealing with any other materialist is the same. So here you get something that's real, that's deep. That is what convinces people. Right? Does that make sense? It's not something else. It's not some other facility. People don't take up religion. Some people do, but it's not that you take up religion because, wow, they have great stained glass windows. No, you take it up because you like the mood of the people that may go to that place with the stained glass windows. That's why you take up that. You believe in it. You follow it. You know what I'm saying? So that's the point. It's the mood that's important, not the facility. Right? Not that facility can't be used. So if you have nice facility and good mood, it makes it even more, the experience even greater. Right? But the essential point is that mood. So, but the Vaishnava who actually finds ecstasy in the holy name is more humble than a blade of grass and more tolerant than a tree. He is unconcerned and even unwilling to receive respect, but eager to offer respect to others. Only such an elevated soul is awarded constant association of the holy name in kirtan. So here it means he's awarded. So one is trying to know how to be able to chant nicely. One is awarded that through this being humble and tolerant. Then that constant chanting will be there. So he's brought it out here. Therefore, kirtaniya sadahari. That's what you have, these four qualities. Then you can be awarded the kirtaniya sadahari. Right? So that's the idea. Krishna will give himself to such a person. Otherwise, then it's not happening. So does that make sense? Yeah. So continue with this on Thursday. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jaya Srila Prabhupada ki.
This week is the last week of classes before the Gopurna break.
Yeah.
So from next week onwards, there will be no more class.